We are in week number 7, God's plan to grow something greater in you. And we have been underscoring yet again that there is this life that Jesus invites us to, that he offers, that you actually can live, that you actually can experience. And we've looked at this idea that there are streams and rivers and waves of grace that are constantly coming in your direction. And that your one assignment is to just stay in that stream. The Bible says don't grieve, don't stifle, don't quench, don't silence God's Spirit. And so how is it that we live in the Spirit, in the stream of the Spirit? Paul uses this language in the New Testament that there are these destructive tendencies that we can put off and these productive tendencies that we can put on. And we've been talking about that the last several weeks. We're using this acronym, which is RAGS, which you put off. R was for resentment and anger, which we dealt with 3 weeks ago. And now we're on the A, which is anxiety, and its good friend is fear. And we're at part 2 of that. And then we'll move next week to the G, which is greed, and then on to superiority and self-righteousness. And so we're going to look today especially at one example, the Apostle Paul himself, and how he learned to put off anxiety and to put on peace. All right, now let's read a few scriptures together, all right, and then we'll talk for a few moments. So if you will follow along, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is the creedal text for anxiety, all right? Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live your life in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. All right, now Philippians 1:12 through 30, this is sort of Paul's current condition as he writes. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to advance the good news, the gospel. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true, there are some who are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others are preaching about Christ, and they do so with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend this good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains even more painful than they already are. But so what? That doesn't matter, whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. For me, to me, living means living for Christ, and dying, well, it's even got some benefits. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ, so I really don't know which is the better one. I'm torn between these two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Should I read this? Down to 29. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of that struggle. All right, don't worry about anything, Paul says. How you doing this week on that one? Can he really be serious? Don't worry about anything. Now, if you're serious about learning to put off anxiety and fear and put on peace, you're going to need a couple of things, all right? The first thing you're going to need is a problem. So we think no problems and no worry. So let's just check in for a moment. How many of you are here today and you have a problem? You've got at least one problem. All right, some of you didn't raise your hand. All right, so how many of you are here and you're with your problem? You brought your problem with you. And I ask that because if you'll answer that honestly, you will now have a problem. Everybody will have a problem. And if you don't have a problem, I talked with a few people in our church who have some doozies. They got multiple problems, and they said, Mark, we would be happy to share a couple of ours so that everybody could have a problem. Now, here's what we're tempted to think. We're tempted to think that worry is caused by my problems. So, then what spirituality means, I need God, if he wants me to worry less, then he needs to give me less problems. And we can think that somehow that spiritual growth, Christian maturity, looks like the one who has the less problems. But that's not how worry works. And one writer came up with this worry equation, and I really like this. He said, an increased sense of vulnerability and a decreased sense of power, strength, equals an increased sense of worry. So then, worry is not a direct product of my circumstances, but it is a direct product of my belief, what I believe in my core, about how vulnerable I am and how much power I do or do not have access to. That's why people who have great-looking problems, and by that I mean, you know, you're talking with somebody, and you don't say this, but you think this in your mind. Any day of the week, I'll trade you problems. You think you got problems? It's why people who have good-looking problems can worry infinitely more, far more, than those who have really lousy problems. I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. Now, for every chronic worrier, that little statement is a memorization must. You need to sear that one into your brain, tattoo that one onto your mind, because these are the words that are at the very core of Paul's inner being that is allowing, no matter what he faces, for there to be a living water that flows in and out of him. I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. Now, is he saying, look, we all face stuff, and you just got to face what you got to face? No, what he says is, whatever I have to face, I can and I will face. And if that becomes the conviction of your core inside, then there is absolutely nothing that can threaten the peace which guards your mind. So it really is not about how good or bad your circumstances are. The first thing you're going to need, if you're going to put off anxiety and begin to wear peace, God's peace, you're going to need a problem. And it seemed like we're all covered on that front this morning. But there's a second thing that you're going to need, and it is a renewed mind. See, we've underscored this repeatedly, that spiritual transformation does not happen from just behavior alone. We are renewed spiritually in our minds. And Paul says that there is a peace not just that comes from God, but he says it is the peace of God. And he is talking about the peace that God himself has. That's the peace that will guard your heart and your mind. And he uses this very descriptive word when he talks about a guard. It's a military word. And they would have instantly, everyone that he would have wrote to in the city of Philippi would have had a picture of a Roman garrison of soldiers that were stationed around the city of Philippi to protect it, to guard its well-being. 9/11, I only have to say that and we're all on the same page. Everything changed. There was an innocence that was forever taken away. Our government had to resolve. You go to any public event, and everything has changed. Security is everywhere these days. Because our government resolved that they will not let anything impact our well-being. And anyone or anything that is questionable is going to be checked out. And that is exactly the picture that Paul is painting. He is saying there are divine soldiers. There's a heavenly personnel security. There are guards that can be watching over your inner being 24/7. And this happens through the power of God's Spirit. The peace that characterizes God himself by the person of the Spirit will stand guard over your continuous thoughts that determine life and death. Your mind is like a wire, and on that wire is this series of beads. And every one of those beads represents thoughts. And we spent a whole week talking about that. You never stop thinking. The experts in the mind tell us you have a ceaseless flow of thoughts that is going on in your mind, even when you sleep. You never stop thinking. And every single one of those thoughts has a charge. It has a little bit of a charge that's either positive or negative. Every single thought is either equipping you to deal with life or it is taking you out of the game. Thoughts like, there is a God. There really is a God. And this God is over all. This God loves me. This God is for me. This God has made me competent and capable to overcome in him. Or you can have thoughts. Well, if there is a God, he sure must be awful small. And if he made me, he didn't do a very good job. I feel competent at nothing. I feel like I was created to lose. I can't handle anything at all. And Paul says, you will choose the thoughts, but the thoughts will then choose the process. Because one set of thoughts lets the Spirit stand guard over your heart and mind, but the other set of destructive thoughts leaves you anxious and paralyzed by fear. And that's what we talked about last week, that God's Spirit will help you discern between those thoughts as they come and will prompt you to say, okay, God, I will give this thought to you. I will hand this one over to you. And at first, this discipline is full of effort. But over time, it becomes the habit of your mind. That is why Paul talks about prayer. Because prayer and worship to God is the single most important fundamental spiritual discipline when it comes to learning to put off anxiety and to put on peace. Remember last week we talked about spiritual bowling? In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Spirit, I cast my cares. And I do it over and over again. And the amazing thing about prayer is it doesn't matter where it is, when it is. It doesn't matter the situation. You can just repeatedly keep turning your anxiety and fear over to God. Now, that's the part that we play. But his part is that the peace that God himself has will be given to you to stand guard over your heart and over your mind. Now, let's talk for just a moment about the guy who's writing this to us, Paul. All right? Now, he is not writing from an ocean view hammock being served every 30-minute pina coladas. He has a couple of things that could qualify for a problem. And we read about it, but if you'll, those of you who are familiar with your Bible, if you'll also add Acts chapter 16, when Paul goes to Philippi for the first time and he preaches and runs into conflict with some powerful financial influencers, and they go to the authorities and they have Paul arrested. That's what's going on. He is put in jail, he is stripped, he is beaten severely, and he is put in these inner stocks. Now, on a bad problem scale of 1 to 10, he's at least at a 9. And given that set of problems, you could easily be moved to be filled with anxiety and fear. Worry could fill your mind. But remember the story, it's midnight, and Paul and Silas, in this prison, they are singing and praying to God while everybody else is listening as though they have any other choice. Observation. When a chain of obsessive worry begins to form in your mind, researchers tell us you have about a 1 to 2 minute window to take that thing to the mat and make it tap out. Because worry gives birth to worry. Worry has little worryinglings who grow up and become adult worriers. Because anxiety, the toxic, don't you love a God who talks to you about stuff like this, a book, I'm telling you? The tentacles of worry reach into our lives, wrapping themselves around our hearts and our minds. And if you don't shut that down and get rid of it, you are in for hours, days, weeks, and sometimes months of obsessive worry. And that's exactly what Paul chooses. I could do this, or I could talk to God and sing. And Paul discovers that prison is a perfectly safe place to be because absolutely nothing can separate him from the love of God. Not humiliation, not jail, not torture, not his life being threatened. Absolutely nothing. Anxious thoughts that result from unpleasant problems in your life will do one of two things. They will either go unchecked. You can be passive, and then you can let destructive worry run free, or you can choose like Paul. I'll pray, and I'll worship the God that I follow. See, Paul's body is in prison, but his mind was still free. And because they couldn't imprison his mind, they couldn't imprison him. And Paul has this really curious way of looking at it. He says, here I am in prison. I've got royal Roman palace guards that are chained to me 24/7. Now, let me tell you, if put me in that situation, I think this is how I would view it. Where the heck is God? God has not come through. But Paul says, you know, I see this quite differently. They think that I am imprisoned to them. They think I'm chained to them. But the truth is, they are chained to me 24/7, and an apostle who is an evangelist, guess what we're going to talk about today? Plus, there are other Christians who see exactly what Paul is facing. And it bolsters their faith. It strengthens them. And Paul says, I can face prison, Romans, torture, beatings, anything through him who gives me the strength that I need. But that's not even the end of his problems. People have been jealous of Paul, and they're taking advantage. They couldn't stand the success and favor that God had given to him. And so they're using this opportunity to tear down his reputation while he's in jail. And he's going to ask the most important question that every warrior asks and answers, which determines whether you will lean into life or there will be little pieces of death that just steal away your life. And here's the question that he asks. Two words. What if? What if? Oh, and we spin out this infinite possibilities of negative possibilities about what if. And you know, the researchers tell us that the high 90% of all of your what ifs never materialize. What if I face something that I can't control? And you will. If it hasn't come yet, the package is on its way. I promise you. It will be delivered to your door shortly. And Paul's response to the what if is so wonderful. He just says, literally, this is what it says. So what? Big deal. Arrested, beaten, jailed. People are jealous. Paul says, I'm not looking for 100% approval rating anyway. And the main thing, Paul says, look, they may stop me, but they're not going to stop the God who is in me. He is at work no matter what. So what? So this week, I promise you, you're going to face a whole stack of problems. You can either get sucked into an obsessive worry, or you can, in Jesus' name, just say, so what? And then Paul says, because God will even use prison for redemptive purposes, I will not be torn apart by anxiety and fear. Instead, I will rejoice. Now, is he gritting his teeth hard? Is he trying to be joyful? No, his mind is simply being renewed by a constant flow of God's Spirit that is protecting his heart and his mind. And he has one final problem. I may die. That's a real possibility. And Paul says, look, make no bones about it. It's a scary thought. I don't like the thought. But if they do, well, if I get to live, then I get to do it with the people that I love. We'll have more time together. But if not, I'll be transferred in a moment before Jesus. I'll be in a place where there's no sorrow and no tears, no jail, no prejudice. I'll be in a place where every day is brighter than the day before. And this is their best? This is all they've got to throw at me? This is their biggest threat? See, Paul's body is in prison, but his mind, through prayer and worship, has been renewed to such a level that the great, powerful Rome is powerless before such a one. You really can put off anxiety and put on peace. Paul's mind is renewed by the practice of prayer and worship that is being guarded by God's Spirit. One last thing, Tommy, if you'll come, and whoever's on the other side, so we can get ready to close here in a moment. I want to mention one other thing that I see, one other practice that helps Paul keep living in peace, all right? And here it is. It is the cultivation of rich, deep spiritual friendships. And it is in this that I express my worry and my fear to you, and you become an agent of God's truth and encouragement through which peace comes to me. Now, none of us on our very best day are strong enough to live in that flow of peace all by ourselves. That's why the Bible says we are to be we're to bear one another's burdens. And Paul describes that. We won't take time and read it in that Philippians 2, 19 through 30. He talks about a little encouragement team. He talks about Timothy, who is with him in Rome. He talks about Epaphroditus that the Philippians had sent to check on Paul, but he had gotten sick and Paul had sent them back. Here's a great tool for dealing with toxic anxiety. Never worry alone. Because when you worry alone, worry intensifies. But when I talk, I have a chance to diffuse that anxiety and to gain God's perspective through you. It's called the ministry of encouragement or reassurance. And Paul chooses his friends wisely, and so must you. There are some people I don't talk to. You tell them their worry, tell them your fear. And they say, yeah, you know, your life sucks. I'm glad I'm not you. Hope you don't die, you know. But there are other people, it is though God himself is sitting next to you. And they say very little words, but just you can see it in their eyes. God is with you. And they become this conduit of encouragement. See, encouragement and assurance can break a chain of worry in another person. And so let it be true of all the CA family in every service that we just, it's just, there's a web of encouragement that we create. Let it be true in our life groups. When the gals resume and they begin to meet for their Bible study, let it be true at the women's tables. We just pray for one another. In fact, some of us, we do this, but I would encourage every life group, periodically, just get a chair, put it in the middle of that circle, and let a person sit there. And by the way, don't make us mind read what you worry and fear. Just tell us. Don't play 1,000 questions. This is what I'm afraid of. This is what terrifies me. And then we can touch you. We can lay hands on you and pray for the peace and the grace of God to rest on you. The ministry of encouragement and reassurance is God's path to peace. Paul put it in his life. And you and I can do that as well. So let me ask you this. What worries you today, this morning? And we've got, we're going to be about another 3 or 4 minutes and we'll be out here. But here's what let's do. Let's practice together. Let's offer, let's pray. Tommy will lead us in one final song. And we'll just let the peace of God be our portion in this last moment together. Amen.